The Matrix Reloaded opened nationwide yesterday. The sequel to the 1999 movie The Matrix has excited philosophers, clerics, and theologians who found the original rich in spiritual meaning. Dozens have written on the topic, and among the latest is a movie critic. His new book supports the thesis of the movies that humans live in a world that's an illusion created by forces beyond our control. NPR's Rick Carr reports.
Critic Jake Horsley isn't the first to find religion in The Matrix. The film is chock-a-block with religious references. From the names, Trinity, for instance, a ship called the Nebuchadnezzar and a city called Zion, through the lines the characters speak.
Hallelujah. You're my savior, man. My own personal Jesus Christ.
Horsley's book, Matrix Warrior, Being the One, does not suggest that evil computers actually pump virtual reality into our brains. Instead, he says he's conducting a thought experiment with the film.
If we act as if it is true, does that enhance our life and our experience? And my experience is that it does, that things start to make a lot more sense when we begin to entertain the possibility that we are in fact living in a dream world controlled by invisible beings.
Horsley says our dream world is created by technology, consumerism, the media, and other aspects of modern civilization that distract us from our potential. Horsley admits that his is an old, old story, specifically a 2,000-year-old spiritual tradition and early form of Christianity known as Gnosticism. Francis Flannery Daly teaches religion at Hendricks College in Conway, Arkansas.
Gnosticism maintains that the world that we're living in is not the ultimate reality. It believes that the God who created this world is not the ultimate God. There is a higher God, a transcendent reality.
Gnosticism holds that the world we live in is an illusion created by a deity detached from that higher, transcendent God. In The Matrix, Daly says the illusion is created by computers. The film's heroes free themselves from the illusion by gaining knowledge of it. And that idea of knowledge as salvation is so central to Gnosticism, Daly says, that it gives the tradition its name.
Gnosticism comes from the root gnosis, which means knowledge. It's this that the Gnostic Redeemer or the Christ figure brings in Gnosticism.
Daly says Keanu Reeves' character in the films, Neo, is that bringer of knowledge.
You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there.
If you don't like Gnosticism and its take on Christianity, Daly says, The Matrix serves up a stew of other traditions. In one scene, for instance, the Keanu Reeves character, not yet fully reborn as Neo, but still Thomas, doubting his own enlightenment, gets a pearl of wisdom from a child who looks like a young initiate in a Tibetan monastery and is bending spoons with his mind.
Do not try and bend the spoon. That's impossible. Instead, only try to realize the truth.
What truth?
There is no spoon.
There is no spoon?
Then you'll see that it is not the spoon that bends. It is only yourself.
Filmmakers Andy and Larry Wachowski have acknowledged that the tenets of Buddhism informed their vision. Religion scholar Francis Daly says it's not surprising that they'd combine aspects of Buddhism with Gnosticism.
They pose humanity's fundamental problem and solution in the same terms, ignorance and enlightenment.
What's more surprising, Daly says, is that the Wachowskis would wrap those generally peaceful teachings in such a violent story. Greg Garrett teaches English at Baylor University and has co-written a book called The Gospel Reloaded, which explores Christian themes in the films. He says violence is a kind of bait that helped turn fans on to the Wachowskis' deeper spiritual message.
They cast that in the form of an action film because, well, frankly, that's the only way that people would have gone to see it.
Garrett says the ploy worked. Millions of fans have immersed themselves in the world of the film and its messages, poring over its website, reading Matrix comic books, playing the video games, and watching the short films that fill in the backstory. Garrett says that may be the most effective way to communicate a spiritual message in a media-saturated world.
Religion and spirituality are communicated to our culture by movies much more than they are by the traditional venues of synagogue or church. And I think it's especially true with what we think of as Gen X and Gen Y.
Garrett says adolescents naturally respond to stories of empowerment and acting out against authority. But according to religious scholar Francis Daly, the Matrix myth has tapped into some adults' deep unease with the modern world.
A really good myth does more than just create a symbolic world. It articulates the feelings that a culture already feels or believes.
Film critic Jake Horsley says, for the record, that he is not delusional. He says he's just trying to have some fun with the films and their message.
I mean, the whole book is a satire on not just consumer culture, but Western culture and even rational perceptions of the universe as we know it.
Just like the Matrix films themselves, Horsley says. Rick Carr, NPR News, aboard the Nebuchadnezzar.
Extended interviews with the Matrix scholars are at npr.org.